Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 219. Today's episode, I am giving you what I think is the difference between a VIP and an MVP. They have a lot of very similar characteristics and produce very different value in the world. I'm breaking down what I think is the difference and also how you can get yourself to higher levels of MVP status instead of trying to be the VIP all the time. Let's get started.
Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms.
Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. Today, I'm recording this episode on International Women's Day. First of all, I want to wish everybody a happy International Women's Day, but also to share with you a fun fact that I learned last year for the very first time. As I was celebrating this very special day for women all across the world, I would wish a happy International Women's Day to several of my colleagues. And I actually remember I had a call inside of the leadership table, my executive level group mastermind training, and I wished them a happy International Women's Day. And it was really funny because a couple of them told me their history with International Women's Day. And it was something that I didn't even realize. And these were women who were from Asian countries who grew up in India. One of them grew up in Indonesia. And she was sharing with us the story of International Women's Day and how it was a huge part of their culture growing up, very similar to Mother's Day here in the United States. But the really cool thing about International Women's Day is it wasn't a celebration of mothers, it was a celebration of women and women's empowerment everywhere. When they were young children, they had International Women's Day. And it's only been in the last 30 years or so that we have taken over this holiday like we do with everything and made it our own and celebrated it at a larger scale. But this is something really great to think about. What if International Women's Day was a part of the everyday rhetoric? What if it was a regular holiday where every woman that received flowers, similar to Mother's Day, where you were able to write cards to all of the women, celebrate them in a really big way? This would be such a huge game changer. And I don't know why International Women's Day hasn't taken off as popular as Mother's Day, except for the fact that we'd maybe perhaps with mothers, we all feel guilty and we feel like mothers never get appreciated enough. But I want you to know that women never get appreciated enough too. And as a mother and a woman, I also think about what that world would be like where we gave women an entire day and said, hey, I celebrate you. You are incredible. You are amazing. And I know we do some form of that, especially on LinkedIn. I received lots of notes of thanks myself today, and I'm super grateful for that. But something to think about as we go through, what would it be like to truly celebrate literally all of the women around you? It leads me into today's podcast episode. Today's podcast episode has a little bit of a sports theme analogy, and it was inspired by two people. One of my clients, I'm going to probably spend a little bit more time talking about her, but the first person that today's episode was inspired by is my son. And let me tell you why. He is mixing up two acronyms, VIP and MVP. He is 7 years old, and I noticed that he uses them in very different contexts. He doesn't really know what they mean except for just important person, and he switches them around, and he doesn't know the difference, and he doesn't really know what it stands for. And that kind of makes me laugh because when he mixes up MVP and VIP, I think, wow, they're kind of different. And that's what I want to talk about today is the difference between being a VIP and an MVP. And the second inspiration for today's episode is one of my clients. She's a senior vice president at an incredible, I guess you could sort of say, apparel company for athletics. And I'm keeping that generic on purpose. But she used to work for the NBA and she has connections in all sort of national sports leagues. And one of her missions as an executive leader is to bring more diversity and conversations around diversity in sports and to amplify other women's voices. And more recently, she shared something on LinkedIn. I was completely blown away. And it was a panel that she had at her organization where she was working with some top female athletes from the WNBA, and they were sitting around a table and having conversations basically about their legacy. What happens after they retire from the WNBA, and how are they going to be giving back whatever organizations and causes, and also how can they continue to monetize this experience? And this is all in addition to her day jobs. Even though she works in athletics, she doesn't necessarily work as part of the promotions or marketing team. And she is such a huge inspiration. But it really made me think about this concept of most valuable player, an MVP, and what the difference is between an MVP and a VIP, and why this matters to you. The first thing I want to point out is a very important person is just that. They are an important person. And for a lot of you, as you think about advancing your careers, you are looking at VIPs, not MVPs by any means, and I'll explain what the difference is, but you're looking at VIPs, very important people at your organization, and you wish you could be more like them, meaning they have power and influence and maybe more money and a higher title, and maybe their grandmother is proud or they're able to put their degree to work. But quite frankly, they're important people. They're not doing anything big in the world. They're VIPs. And every single one of you are surrounded by VIPs on the regular. And it can be very frustrating as a non-VIP to watch that VIP behavior around you. And you can get a little bit confused by it and wish that you were a VIP. Then you join or you work with me and get coaching from me to basically become a VIP, become a very important person yourself, or you don't work with me because you don't really care about becoming a VIP. You'd want the recognition you already deserve. But in order to get there, you kind of have to become an important person. It can be very frustrating because we tend to both respect and revere VIPs, but then when we really look at it, we actually don't like them very much. Rightfully so. There's lots of reasons not to like a VIP. But in reality, what we're really wanting to do when we really want to have that voice at the table is we actually want to become an MVP, a most valuable player. That is what we wish we were doing. We wish we were the most valuable player at our organization. That's what we actually want to be. We don't care about becoming a VIP. But yet the way we're going about it is VIP, VIP, VIP. Let me tell everybody how important I am or not. Most of you, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not doing it. And if you are doing it, at least the way that I teach, you're getting yourself closer to being seen and also acting like the most valuable player. So I already kind of alluded to the difference in the sense of what a VIP is and what we don't really care about. But what is a most valuable player? And what are some of the general characteristics that describe an MVP? And how can you begin to emulate them? That's what we're talking about today. I already talked about what it means to be a VIP. And MVPs are typically also not a surprise. They're very important people. They tend to be in positions of power and influence. Even on a football team or a soccer team or the WNBA, they're typically really important to that team. They're not somebody who sits on the bench, so to speak. And there is a level of seniority, a level of importance, a level of physical aptitude, good at their job kind of thing that happens when you're the MVP. But here's where it starts to diverge from being that VIP. in one sense, the MVP is important, but also what makes them an MVP and not a VIP is that they're also very valuable. They're also incredibly valuable, not because of their importance, not because of their title, but because of everything else that they give back to their team. You can think of an MVP as somebody who rallies their team, who gives a different perspective, who helps their team when they're down, who throws the game-winning point. An MVP is always doing something of greatness, something that is above and beyond, something bigger than anyone ever expected. That is one quality of an MVP. They're going above their important status and they're truly delivering at a really high level. That is you. You are, I want to coach you into becoming that MVP at your organization, that valuable person. And many of the women I've seen make that transition, like they were already kind of valuable, but then they get into positions of power and influence. They bring all of their corporate badassery with them. And now they're truly the MVPs at their organizations. And the organizations will consistently point to them and talk about the value that they truly bring. And they have C-suite titles. And then that goes me into that second place, which is that you get rewarded for it. How do MVPs get rewarded? They get recognized. They get called out at all hands. They get more money. They get a podcast interview. They get noticed in some bigger, larger way. They're able to be seen as a thought leader in the greater community. And there are little micro ways that you can start doing in that now, even before you get power and influence. But then once you get to that top place and you really are that MVP, you have lots of opportunities available to you. Another thing about an MVP that I find to be really cool and different, and a lot of these are assumptions because I haven't actually been an MVP. This is an observation. But another thing that it seems with MVPs is that they are in the game for themselves. Now, talked about the value that they bring and how they throw the game-winning pitch. They score at the buzzer. They do all of these amazing things. They bring it home for their organization, but yet the thing is that they're doing it for themselves, for their own level of greatness. VIPs, a lot of times when they're trying to strive to do better, they're trying to impress somebody else. They're doing something because they want somebody else to notice. An MVP, on the other hand, strives for greatness, but they do it for themselves. They themselves want to be great. They're willing to change the game in the process. They're willing to do things differently. Why? Because they're doing what works for them, all under the guise and the aspiration of true greatness. Typically, there's somebody who does something slightly different, outside of the box thinking, but something that really packs home a punch that brings this huge reward to their organization. A lot of you are going through and looking at VIPs and trying to emulate them and have that level of power and influence to be important, but that doesn't really work in the end. It doesn't bring fulfillment. But then the other problem is the way you're going about getting that type of MVP status is you're trying to please everybody around you. You're trying to do exactly what your boss needs you to do rather than figuring out what the organization needs and then where can you fill those gaps. You are becoming that MVP, not that VIP. You see where I'm headed here? You're thinking about things differently, but it's in truly a selfish way. What are my strengths? Where is the value that I bring to this organization? And we're doubling down on that and not necessarily what everybody needs us or wants us or molds us into something else because we want to please them. As you continue on your MVP journey, really think about that. Who am I really doing this for? And make your greatness for something bigger, but also for selfish reasons, because I can, because I belong, because I'm worth it. If you add a little bit of that jazz to it, you're going to find that you have a bigger reward and you're able to actually give back at a higher level than you were when you were striving for importance, or even worse, not striving at all because you don't want to be seen as only caring about yourself, but then you don't really do anything to help yourself. I hope you're following me. This makes so much sense to me. I was watching a Netflix series about some of the world's greatest coaches, and Serena Williams' coach was talking about when he first started working with her. And one of the pieces that really stood out to me was he said that he had nothing to offer Serena from a skills standpoint. He couldn't offer her more skills, but what he could offer her was the ability to anticipate and play within failure, her ability to not give up, her ability to anticipate the moves of the other player. It's a whole different skill set, a different way of working with MVPs. And the same thing happens with me. When I'm working with people who are still in that striving to be VIP mode, a lot of stuff that we're talking about is putting out everyday fires, things of very little importance. How do I get this next promotion, which is important? Of course, it's important, but it has, in the grand scheme of things, your next promotion is the beginning. You have so much more to give back to the world and your organization, and you have so much of your career ahead of you. Then I notice that once women get to that higher level status and they're able to really absorb being that MVP, even the way that I coach them is differently. The women inside of the mastermind, the reason that it's a true mastermind is because one gigantic mind working together to solve really big problems. And by really big problems, it could be massive layoffs at our organization. It could also be trying to get your first C-suite level role, making that transition from vice president to C-suite. That is a massive problem to solve. And who are those people that I need to get buy-in with? And how can I reach out to different areas of my network than I've ever went to before? And how do I show up in these interviews? And then also, once you get that role, and you have major restructures and you're working directly with the CEO and you have the board who's having conversations with you on the side, we're doing really big MVP level things, and they have to figure out how to play as the MVP on a daily basis. The coaching that I'm giving them is very different. How to make really big high level decisions, how to organize their recovery time in a way that they never had to do before. It's like self-care takes on a whole new level, how to be much more decisive, how to be much clearer in their communication, how to leave every single day at 4 o'clock, not because they have to pick up their kids, but because they have to have those boundaries because the work that they're doing at their organization is large. And being able to anticipate those problems ahead of time so that they don't constantly fall into crisis mode after crisis mode. These are the higher level problems that we're solving as MVPs. But I want you to take away from today's episode, I hope, the difference between a VIP and an MVP. And at its simplest, are you moving towards that MVP status? Or are you stuck in the trap of trying to be that VIP, that important person that, quite frankly, we could do without? I want you to be the MVP, to have that recognition, to have that power and influence valuable to your organization, to be swimming in your own lane, to be that island of one so that you can truly impact the leadership table. All right. Thank you all so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be or how far away you might be and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.